David Henry Hwang has explored the intersection of Western and Asian cultures in plays like Chinglish, Yellowface, and M. Butterfly. And now the Signature Theater has devoted an entire season of one of its venues to his work, two older plays and a premiere. The current offering, The Dance and the Railroad, examines the lives of Chinese workers on the Transcontinental Railroad through narrative and traditional Chinese opera dance. It runs until March 24th at the Pershing Square Signature Center on West 42nd Street, and I'm very pleased that it brings Mr. Hwang back to our show. Hello.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Wasn't this only the second of your plays to be produced?
Yeah, I was 23 years old, and Joe Papp, who of course founded the Public Theater, had produced my first play. This was one that was actually commissioned by the U.S. Department of Education. It's hard to believe that there was once a time when the Department of Education commissioned plays. We did it at the Henry Street Settlement, and it moved to the Public.
And what were they hoping to do, to teach kids through theater?
Well, they commissioned sort of four ethnic heritage plays, which is what they call it. So there was like a Jewish play, an African-American play, you know, an Asian play, and a Puerto Rican or something. And, you know, obviously mine was the Asian play. And it was about history. And I wanted to look at something from history.
I hate to ask a question like this. You were very young. We're talking about 1981, right?
Yeah.
Were there not very many Chinese playwrights that they went to this kid to write the play?
There were certainly fewer, you know, Chinese and Asian American playwrights than there are today. And maybe that was one of the reasons I got the gig at such a young age.
And then Frank Rich, who was then the New York Times drama critic, saw the play?
Right. We performed it in the afternoon for kids. They would bus in school kids. But we got one evening performance. And Frank Rich, who was the head critic at the time, saw it and gave us a rave. And then we became an adult play.
Because Joe Papp, who you'd already had connections to, moved it to the Public Theater. It ran for 6 months. And it was nominated for a Pulitzer. That'd be exciting.
Yeah. It was. I mean, I was very lucky to get out of the starting gate pretty early in my life.
So did that have a real impact on your career?
Well, prior to M. Butterfly, it was sort of considered my hit because, you know, 6 months was a pretty healthy run. And, opened a lot of doors for me. But so did the first play, FOB, the play that preceded it. So I was lucky to have these two plays back to back that did well.
FOB, Fresh Off the Boat.
Yes.
You were born in Los Angeles. Did you grow up in California?
Yep. Grew up in the Los Angeles San Gabriel area, which is now very Chinatown-y, but at the time was mostly whites and Latinos.
How much of the Chinese population in Southern California can date back to the Transcontinental Railroad?
You know, it's a pretty small percentage. Certainly there are people who are fourth, fifth generation Chinese Americans. I know a few, but the bulk of immigration has happened since 1965, since the immigration laws were reformed.
Yeah, well, there's been a new influx. We're all grateful. It means we no longer have to eat chow mein and egg foo young.
Yes, the quality of Chinese food has improved immeasurably around the country.
So how did you research the stories of these workers?
Well, you know, there actually was very little research at that time. There were two places that I found. The Chinatown History Project here in New York, which is now the Museum of Chinese in Americas, and UCLA. And it's interesting that in the intervening 30 years, there's been a lot more scholarship about the Transcontinental Railroad. And I tweaked a few things and changed things in the play to reflect the updated research.
So this is not the same play people saw in, what was it? 1981?
I mean, it's very much the same. There's just a few facts that I changed. In the original play, I thought that this is a play about the Chinese railroad workers going on strike, which they did in 1867. And I thought that they gained a shorter work shift from 10 hours to 8 hours because of it. But then I realized that's not true, and so I changed that.
You also, of course, have different actors here, which I want to get into in a moment. This is a two-character play, and the action takes place, as you said, in 1867. Lone, mm-hmm. the older man, uses his free time to practice Chinese opera dance moves, which he learned in China. How did that character, in your mind, wind up working on the railroad?
Well, the character Lone is based, was written for the actor John Lone.
In fact, both of the characters are named after your original actors.
Tai Ma was the original actor, and his character's name Ma. And John Lone was raised in the Cantonese opera, In Hong Kong, and subsequently went on to great success, particularly as the title character in Bertolucci's 88 movie, The Last Emperor.
He also was in the film version of
And he was in the
M
film
Butterfly.
Version of M. Butterfly, yes, a few years later. So I thought that he was a character, his character in this show was sold to the opera as a young kid around 8 or 10 years old, which people tended to do. And then, but then pulled out of opera school because his parents decided he could make more money for them if they would send him to America to work on the railroad.
Well, since John Lone had studied dance, did you write the play partly with him in mind?
Very much so. I mean, the two actors, John and Tai Ma, the three of us really collaborated on this very closely, and John choreographed the original production and also directed it. So it was just a very small thing that the three of us pulled together, which you know, ended up doing very well.
The younger man, Ma, asked Lone to teach him how to dance. Why does he want to learn it? Because he's homesick?
I think it's that he grew up as a kid watching the Chinese opera, you know, the form of entertainment, the traveling troupes as it came to town, and he started to identify with this great hero Guan Gong, who's sort of like every kid's superhero. And he wanted the opportunity. He thinks he's going to be rich when he leaves America, and then he can go and play these roles in his semi-retirement.
Now, why is Guan Gong a hero to Chinese kids?
Well, he's comes from a Chinese epic called Romance of the Three Kingdoms, and he's a general, and he's a wonderful fighter and a great noble spirit, and he's just sort of the hero of that novel.
My guest is David Huang, whose play The Dance and the Railroad is currently on stage at the new Pershing Square Signature Center on West 42nd Street, a complex of theaters, and they've devoted one of them to you. It felt extraordinary that they would do that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's an amazing honor and opportunity.
That whole project is amazing. I mean, it's beautiful theaters.
Frank Gehry designed. There are three, actually four theater spaces in there. There's a sort of beautiful cafe. It's free Wi-Fi. I mean, it's a great. I think it's the first new art center to open up in New York since Lincoln Center. And the Signature Theater started out by doing what's now called Residency One, which is devoting an entire season to the work of one playwright.
They also are keeping ticket prices down in a time when ticket prices are sky high. And the cafe, which has wonderful food, I'm saying this just as somebody who has been there recently, the food is normal prices. The wine prices are normal prices. You don't have to pay $4 for a bag of M&Ms. I mean, it's quite an amazing place.
I'm really proud to be associated with an institution where every ticket in every seat for the initial run of every play is $25. And then, yes, everything else is very accessible also.
Tell us about Yu Kun Wu, the actor who's now playing the role that John Lone originated. He seems very accomplished. Had he studied Chinese opera dance, or did he have to learn it to prepare for the role?
Well, when we decided we were going to do this play again, the big question was going to be, could we cast it, and particularly that role of Lone? And Yu Kun, who we call William, or I do anyway, William is third-generation Chinese opera. So he was born and raised in China, and his grandfather and father did it, and then William started Chinese opera school, very much like his character, at 8.
Well, you have to find actors who can do this sort of thing and at the same time act in English and act in a style that Western theater goers are comfortable
with. Right.
It's
an amazing combination of skills, and that's why I think we were really lucky to find these guys. But I find that, you know, throughout my career, people talk about, are there enough Asian actors? Can you cast Asian actors in these parts? Whenever we've created an opportunity, we found someone who can fit it.
And Rui Iskandar?
Rui Iskandar, yeah.
Rui plays Ma. The character's a novice dancer. So is that a less demanding role, at least in terms of training?
Well, at least he doesn't have to, you know, know the steps perfectly and like a trained Chinese opera person would be. And Rui is not. Rui is... he went to school here in the States. He's an NYU graduate out of the acting school, but he moves really well and he worked really hard. And I think anyone who sees the show will feel that he picked it up excellently.
The program lists a Chinese opera consultant Quan Yi.
Chen Yi, yes.
Chen Yi. I always have a hard time with the...
Those transliterations are tricky.
Yeah, a Q-U still means Kwa to me, but Chen Yi, okay. What was Chen Yi's role?
Well, Chen Yi's one of the world's great Kun Chu performers, Kun Chu being the oldest form of Chinese opera. And some of your listeners may recall there was a production of the Peony Pavilion, the great Chinese opera, that came to Lincoln Center, I think around 2000, and was quite controversial. At first, it couldn't get out of Shanghai. And she was the lead in that production.
And she may very well have been on our show at the time.
That's quite possible.
Because we talked about it in 2000. And that was controversial. Is this play, would this play be considered controversial in China?
I don't think so, and we're about to find out because we're actually going to bring this production to China in May to the Wuzhen Festival, which is outside Shanghai.
Well, you've had other things produced. You had a recent play produced in Hong Kong, didn't you?
Yeah, Chinglish we just did in Hong Kong, but this will be my first production. I've had, you know, a lot of works done in Asia, but this is my first one in mainland China.
Part of the plot of Chinglish was kind of similar to a real-life scandal in China. Has that made it harder to get it across the river from Hong Kong into mainland China?
Well, you know, the show closed here on Broadway in early 2012, and then fairly soon after this Bo Xilai scandal broke, the party head in Chongqing, whose wife has been now being convicted of murdering the British businessman Neil Haywood, and everybody's, my journalist friends started to write me about, oh, it's just like Chinglish. You know, I think that the fact that there's so
many
similarities...
Were you being prescient?
I was just trying to write about certain patterns that exist in mainland China today, and it turns out this very publicized case fits some of those patterns. And I think it's been very good for the play in the rest of the world, not so good in China. I think it's going to be a while before we can get it into China.
Golden Child, the first show in the signature season, was about the introduction of Christianity into China and how it affected traditional ancestor worship. Was that play based on anything that had happened in your own family?
Yeah, that play was essentially based on the story of my great-grandfather, who converted to Christianity in China in the 1920s. And then, because Chinese men were polygamous at the time, had to decide what to do with his three wives. It was based on a family history I did when I was 10 years old.
Well, religion becomes a really controversial issue in China in a way that it doesn't in other countries, as we see with the government's reaction to Falun Gong more recently.
Well,
is there a fear of the power of religion?
I think there's a fear of in China right now of anything that feels that is potentially disruptive of the government's influence and of sort of public safety, as they would perceive it. So any gathering, it's why theater in some sense is considered more dangerous. M. Butterfly, my play, cannot be produced in China, but it was published in Chinese. So people can read it because you can do that in the privacy of your home. But theater is a gathering, like a religious gathering, and therefore considered more threatening.
Well, would the subject matter of M. Butterfly also have
well,
made
in the, case of
the officials a little uncomfortable?
Yes. I mean, the reason M. Butterfly can't be produced in China is because it's too politically sensitive. It's based on the true story of a French diplomat who had a 20-year affair with a Chinese actress who turned out to be a spy and a man in drag. And the Chinese government claim that that never happened.
Now, Golden Child, the first show in this season, and then this one, the Dance on the Railroad, are both early plays, less well known than M. Butterfly. Out of all your plays, why did you choose to have them as the two older ones? Because there's also a premiere coming up, isn't there?
Right. Well, Golden Child, there was some rewriting I wanted to do on it, and so I was really happy with getting the chance to do that work. And Dance on the Railroad, I just wanted to do something sort of from early in my career, my early sort of public theater days.
Now, Kung Fu is going to open when?
Kung Fu will open in February or March. We'll probably start previewing in February, March next year of 2014.
So no rehearsals yet. You're still working on it?
I have a first draft that I'm happy with. We're doing a workshop next month in April and another one in the fall.
You also have organized a series of readings of contemporary Chinese plays translated into English at the Signature Theater. When will that be taking place?
That's happening this weekend. There are four playwrights that that have come to America, one from Beijing, one from Shanghai, one from Hong Kong, and one from Taiwan. and I wanted to represent the diversity of contemporary Chinese playwriting. And it's a co-production between Signature and the Lark Play Development Center. I just came from rehearsal right now.
Were these plays translated just for the series?
Yeah. There are new translations, and we're working on them in the rehearsal room.
And are there any plans to mount full-scale productions of them anytime in the
future? Well, I really hope so. I mean, I feel that we needed to get... You know, we know so little about contemporary Chinese theater here in the States. I felt like we needed to get these texts out there first, and hopefully people will do full productions.
Well, what is the state of Chinese theater these days? Because it went through all sorts of turmoil during the Mao years, especially during the Cultural Revolution, when Madame Mao was dictating anything that could be put on a stage.
Right. There were only a handful of model operas that could be performed during the Cultural Revolution. Right now, the theater scene, and particularly the underground theater scene, is really vital in Shanghai and Beijing. My problem is that I'm not really bilingual. So I go over there, but I don't really understand what's going on, which is one of the reasons, for the selfish reasons, I wanted to have these translations done.
You don't speak Mandarin?
I don't. I took a couple of years of it in college, but it didn't really stick.
Well, so you have no idea whether the translations of your plays are any good.
That's true, whether it's done in China or in Europe. I just translation, you kind of have to trust at a certain point.
Meanwhile, we have this new production of The Dance and the Railroad starring Yukun Wu and Rui Iskandar at the Pershing Square Signature Theater at 480 West 42nd Street, just off of 10th Avenue. We just had Bill Irwin and David Shiner here.
They're
kind of like your theater mates there. Mm-hmm. And this runs until March 24th. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Great. Thanks for having me.